And good morning, and welcome to the talk show today. Dr. Michael Ash is our guest. First time since May, that was when we were talking about graduation. We were talking about this COVID on the run, and everything should be, boy, we should be back to 100% normal by the fall. It looks like it's all but over. It's just the last embers of this virus, and we'll be in real normal by the fall. Well, then we had a situation. We have this thing called the Delta variant that came in, and I don't know how much of an impact that has or has not made. It hasn't changed a lot of things, hasn't changed the schedule for a lot of things, but it has changed, particularly in some states, particularly in some areas. We're in a state that is apparently we must be doing pretty well because there's no mandate for anything in this place. I guess the question is, how does that affect, if any, how does that affect and how has that affected Southeastern Community College?
Well, thank you, Steve, for having me back. We started last May-ish. May, June, talking about the fall, and part of our programming moving forward would be in the fall we would be back to full occupancy of classrooms, public spaces, cafeteria, those kinds of things, and those are all back to our normal levels. We still have some of the protocols in place, cleaning and hand sanitizers and plexiglass and those kinds of things. We are highly recommending mask wearing, but we're not mandating it yet. And we are really encouraging the vaccination. Because of Iowa law, I can't ask who's been vaccinated and who hasn't. But we are working with the Department of Health, both in Des Moines and Lee County, to provide shot clinics. And we'll be advertising those here shortly. And hopefully having, both offerings will be on our campuses. So we'll be able to make it very convenient for people to come by. And the upcoming event in Keokuk, Lee County still has some J&J before it expires. So students can choose that. Students, faculty, staff, and community can choose that if they want, or they can choose one of the other vaccines. I'm not exactly sure about the booster. You and I had been chatting just briefly about the booster coming up when that is available. I don't know what they do with the J&J booster, if that's going to have a booster.
They are planning. The story out today is they are planning on doing it very similarly to both Pfizer and Moderna. Moderna, I know that Lee County, they are doing Moderna second shots. I haven't mentioned Pfizer yet, but I know that we've got. But Pfizer is now fully recognized as and it has been approved. It has passed all the dotted I's and T's crossed and everything and the rigid standards of the FDA to receive full approval. So it's now no longer an experimental drug anymore or a drug in an emergency use. It's now considered an actual full use. I don't believe Moderna and I don't believe Johnson & Johnson have been approved to that degree as of yet.
I think that's correct, yes.
But anyway, the bottom line is, are you encouraged? You can't demand, but are you doing what you can to encourage vaccination?
We have signage all across the campuses encouraging getting vaccinated, wearing masks, wearing masks, period, but particularly for those who are not vaccinated, that it's expected. It goes beyond just encouraged. It's expected. But then again, how do I know if an individual, faculty, staff, or community member comes in the buildings, and I can't ask them if they're vaccinated. I can't see their card if they have a card. So you're kind of on the honor system,
and you're no longer a test site anymore, are you?
We're no longer a test site, but we think, working with the Department of Health, that that'll become a shot center.
Okay.
And making it available to faculty, staff, students, and our community at the fairgrounds.
And you're all very close to to the what they call Southeast Iowa Regional Health Center, Burlington, West Burlington Division,
I think, is what
they call it right now. But so you're very close to that, and that that facility is also very important for your nursing program.
Yes.
And there has been a severe, nationwide, a severe shortage of nurses. I don't know if that has encouraged or discouraged people from or students from from picking going into nursing.
Yeah, well, it is. It's a real challenge. I think we have another example of COVID fatigue. Being on that front line, those first responders, and all the hours that they had to work. And then it gets complicated, too, by the number of nurses that have either left the profession, retired out, or just left, and then the nurse shortage. And then they have to use, I just learned this last night, that they have to use traveling nurses. And that cost of traveling nurses is through the roof.
Yeah.
So then you have people who are working side by side with a traveling nurse saying, hey, I'm not making that kind of money.
Yeah.
So I'm going to quit the hospital and I'm going to go to work for traveling nurses.
Okay.
So it compounds their problem. And I learned that from Matt Wenzel, CEO of the hospital. But it's the shortage is real. Teacher shortage is real.
Yes.
And these are individuals who are right on the front lines and doing battle, if you will, trying to do a good job, but also this whole cloud of the COVID and the variant and all that, and the vaccines or not, and all of that is just, it just takes its toll.
My wife is a teacher, and at the elementary, she's teaching elementary music right now, and so her students, by and large, none of them are vaccinated. They can't be vaccinated.
Right.
There's no vaccine for those under 12.
Right.
And so they are encouraging, strongly encouraging masks to be worn, but I'm not sure exactly. My wife says that so far that the encouragement has not exactly inspired that much. But yeah, I think that we're sort of in this, I hate to say the word limbo, but it's like that's sort of where we are. We were there, and now we're sort of back there again in an era, in a world of uncertainty right now. And we're wondering what's coming up next down the pike. Hopefully, good news. We've heard so many pieces of information, and I would imagine for an administration, you said that the COVID year was the hardest year of your life.
Absolutely. And I,
you'd rather like to have that year over.
Wish I had a do-over on that one. But it was horrendous because we care about our students, faculty, staff, and our communities. But we're also trying to deliver education, trying to prepare people for their futures. And we're also trying to listen to our business and industry saying we need workers. And so all of that pressure, all of that expectation, all that pent-up need, and trying to find the balance, that was a real challenge.
Well, I think that I said it before when we came on. I said the return to normal, and I don't mean the new normal, but a return to normal. That's been delayed somewhat, hasn't it?
It has, although at this
point. But it's a lot closer to normal.
It is. It is, exactly. For instance, we are having our sports seasons on schedule this year. So basketball, volleyball, soccer are all happening this fall, cross country this fall, and golf this fall. So we have those sports are functioning now, and they've been practicing and getting ready for their initial games. We have scheduled some open houses and ribbon cuttings at the West Burlington campus on September 16th. We want to throw open the doors and show the public, our community, what we've been doing over the summer with the auto collision lab and with the precision machining lab. Just wonderful facilities now, really cleaned up, really sharp, really looking good. We over a year and a half ago, we began our new gallery, art gallery, and we weren't able to do an open house. So on September 16th, beginning at 4 p.m., we're going to have a series of open ribbon cuttings, or open house for the whole thing, but ribbon cuttings in all three of those areas. So we can celebrate the successes there, celebrate our students, celebrate our faculty and staff, and let the community see what's going on.
By the way, congratulations, I believe, in order. You received an award from community colleges. Was it through Iowa's Community College Association?
Yes, and thank you for that. It's the Iowa Community College Trustees Association, and you get nominated and then you go through a process, whatever that process is, and the trustees that are on that board make a determination as to who will receive the award that particular year. And so I received it virtually
okay.
In July. And then my baseball player was up at Des Moines, and they handed it to him and said, would you give this to Dr. Ash? And so he brought it back. And then at our September board meeting, we did some official pictures and, awarding there. And my staff, in August did a little luncheon for me. So
what is the status right now in terms of enrollment? As you look, your fall enrollment, in fact, classes are now underway. Is that right?
Correct. We began classes last Wednesday, and then online began this past Monday. So we're at it right now. So where are we at? Our enrollment at this point in time for online is actually down a little bit, which is a little puzzling because we've been on an upward trend for some time. But I think what's happened is that the students are now seeing that they can get back in the face-to-face, and our face-to-face on the West Burlington campus is up significantly. Our Keokuk campus is down a little bit. And so those three added together, and then we bring in the high schools, we're at about 2.5% up over last fall. And that can be a little misleading because last fall we were down.
Right.
But, you know, we could have, well, the way we budget no increases so that we stay flat. So any increase then helps us with the budget. And so we're right now, and we haven't gotten to our census date yet, but right now we're up 2.5%.
So it is, you're seeing an upward trend at least, and let's face it, face-to-face, in fact, I know there were a number of students last year at a number of colleges and universities that actually filed suit against the universities and colleges because they said, look, I signed up and I paid for, you know, face-to-face learning and staying in the dorms and the entire experience, and I'm not getting it. And so face-to-face and quote-unquote normal is certainly the ideal. In terms of cases, are you tracking? Have you seen any cases? Are you tracking cases currently?
We haven't had. We tested all the students coming into the residence halls, and just as a side note, our residence halls are full for the very first time ever.
Okay.
So we're full. But we've, before students could move in, they had to either present a COVID test within the last so many hours before they arrived, or proof of a vaccination.
Okay.
And if they didn't, then they were sent to have a shot.
Okay.
Or to be tested. So we really had tight control over those going in the residence halls, in part because it's full. We don't have a whole lot of leeway as far as what do we do with someone who gets sick. But I have not been made aware of any issues. Now, I did receive word yesterday that one of my adjunct music instructors' mother passed away from COVID. And that's very, very sad, of course, when we lose any of our community members. But her association with the college was through her daughter, who was one of our adjunct instructors. But I haven't heard of anything else related to COVID or someone being sick or whatever. So
I was mentioning secondary schools where my wife teaches. they have had a severe issue, and I'd say that's probably that severe issue is pretty much basically ubiquitous right now among all secondary schools in terms of getting substitutes. Two things actually that they're looking for right now that they're having a great problem with is finding substitute teachers, finding bus drivers.
Yes.
Even the hardest, that's 65,000 bus drivers are needed nationwide.
Isn't that something?
And they don't want to do it.
Yeah. Well,
I don't blame them myself. I don't think I'd want to be a bus driver myself.
I'm pretty sure I don't want to be either. Being in any form of education is really a challenging situation right now. Bus drivers, school nurses, teachers, substitute teachers, they were struggling trying to get substitutes.
Right.
Even before COVID.
Well, substitutes typically, at least in that level, substitutes typically are retired teachers or people within the community who have had enough experience to qualify as a mm-hmm. substitute, but they tend to be older. They tend to be people who are, by and large, more or less retired, mm-hmm. and they do this to basically keep their hand in and earn a little extra money at the same time. But it's in a world where uncertainty reigns, the last thing they want is uncertainty.
That's right.
And that's something that is going on
now. It's just plain risky. And I'm not trying to speak fear over anybody, but it's a real fear.
So normal is as close to normal as you can be right now. Are you planning? You are planning on full attendance at SEC basketball games. Is that right?
Planning full attendance at our athletic events, including basketball, and we're still on for the November 5th Great Taste event.
That's right, the Great Taste. But so, we'll get Val in to talk about
sure.
sometime
so we're,
soon.
We're moving forward knowing that, I mean, we might have to make adjustments, and we can pretty much turn on a dime. We're trying to say, look, it's important for us to try to get some things together.
And
here,
let's face it, the hope is that those who have been reluctant to be fully vaccinated will take the hint.
Yes, yes.
And will join in and will be and will help put this to a this very contagious variant to rest. And I think that's the hope of an awful lot of people right now.
Yes.
And we're going to take a break for news. We've got Dr. Michael Ash with us. We're going to talk more Southeastern Community College. He's got a date with the senator from the state of Iowa that's going to be coming up. We'll talk a little bit about that, but also talk a little bit about SEC and community colleges in general. We'll also talk about SEC Iowa Wesleyan's unified agreement. We'll talk about that and more when we return.
COACH. Five letters synonymous with leadership and encouragement. But even more about your success in life. Hear from the coach right here on the Cyclone Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. It's the Cyclones Coach's Corner with head coach Matt Campbell this Monday night at 6:30 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
It's Mattress Firm's semi-annual sale, where you can save up to $300 on our top-rated brands like Sealy and Sleepy's. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend $6.99 on Sealy. Or buy Tempur-Pedic and get a $300 instant gift good toward sleep accessories. Shop Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and more with our sleep experts today to find your best sleep. Only at Mattress Firm. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
Using an overpriced trash bag?
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks?
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag?
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
You gotta snag Hefty's Ultra Strong Trash Bag. Always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
It has Arm & Hammer odor control, so your nose and your wallet will be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags. Hefty strong all day long.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Are you prepared? Every 4.2 seconds, there is a new strain of malware. Cyber attacks are up 400% since the pandemic started. And it's not just some bored kid messing around in their parents' basement anymore. Extremely well-funded organizations and even nations have full-time hacking operations targeting anyone with a device on the network, even at the home office. Are all of your business computers up to date on patches? Does your company have an enforced security policy? If an employee clicks on something they shouldn't have, are you going to go out of business or restoring a backup? The threat is serious. Are you prepared? Call JNS today for a free security consultation. For service you can rely on, JNS Electronics at 319-752-5603 or visit us on the web at www.jselectronics.com.
Have something to sell? Looking for something? Have something to give away? You can now do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the KBUR online trading post. Just go to KBUR.com and click on Trading Post, or go to our KBUR Facebook page direct and join the Trading Post group and start dealing. You can post as many pictures of your items as you wish. It is still the marketplace of the air, but now all the time. The KBUR online trading post from News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. Starting Wednesday, the Lee County Health Department will offer third doses of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine. The shots will be offered starting Wednesday from 8:30 until 4 at their office at No. 3 John Bennett Drive in Fort Madison. Appointments are requested. Those planning to receive a booster shot should bring a vaccination card that verifies the dates of their first two Moderna shots. The CDC's Independent Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommends that people with moderately to severe compromised immune systems receive an additional dose of mRNA COVID-19 vaccine following their initial two-dose vaccination. For more information, visit leecountyhd.org. Union-organized Labor Day events in several Iowa cities are being canceled because of the pandemic. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
The Hawkeye Area Labor Council has voted to cancel all Labor Day events in Cedar Rapids, Waterloo, Iowa City, Marshalltown, and Mason City. Rick Moyle, executive director of the Hawkeye Area Labor Council, issued a written statement. Moyle said with COVID case numbers sadly rising, the group knows it has a responsibility to do the right thing and does not want to contribute to the spread of what he referred to as this evil virus. According to the Iowa Federation of Labor's website, the annual Labor Day observances organized by union members also have been canceled in Clinton, Des Moines, and the Quad Cities.
A once prominent anchor at one of Iowa's biggest local television stations has filed a lawsuit alleging she was let go last year because of her gender and age. Former WHO-TV investigative reporter and anchor Sonia Heitzsusen filed the discrimination lawsuit Tuesday against the NBC affiliate's parent company, Nexstar Media Group Incorporated. The lawsuit alleges that Heitzsusen was, quote, thrown out to pasture after she turned 53 because she was no longer seen as camera-worthy after enduring years in which her older male colleagues received better pay and working conditions. Heitzsusen says she hopes her lawsuit encourages a, quote, cultural shift in the TV news industry. From the KBUR newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. At least one ally is talking about taking action in Afghanistan beyond the evacuation deadline.
G7 leaders are urging President Biden to extend the August 31st deadline to withdraw troops from the country. Today, German Chancellor Angela Merkel expressed concern that Afghanistan will once again become a breeding ground for terrorism and said her country will continue evacuations but needs the U.S. there.
Fox's Trey Yingst. And the FAA is trying to quell the surge of problem incidents on planes.
The FAA wants to draw attention to what the consequences are in a new PSA campaign.
Unruly passenger, we need to get off the airplane.
Help me! Do you need authorities on the ground?
Yeah.
The FAA says more than half of the unruly passenger reports are for people refusing to wear masks.
Fox's Rob Dawson. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Occasional showers, a possible thunderstorm, mainly before noon and mainly in the northern part of our coverage area. Otherwise, turning mostly sunny, 91 degrees. Heat index values up to 102. Partly cloudy tonight, a 30% chance of a shower or thunderstorm, low to 72. Mostly sunny Thursday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, 89. Mostly clear Thursday night, a low down to 72. Sunny Friday and a high to 91 right now. Cloudy skies, a little bit of light rain, 73. Weather brought to you by Southeast Iowa Regional Airport and Air Choice One, making your travels easy, flying from Burlington to St. Louis and Chicago daily.
Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. The S&P 500 index and the NASDAQ each opened at new record highs on Wall Street. This morning, markets are flat on some disappointing durable goods orders numbers for July and ahead of the Fed's virtual Jackson Hole meeting on the U.S. economy. There is some optimism on Wall Street, though, that the U.S. may be close to turning the corner on soaring COVID cases and deaths with the Delta variant. Infections are still rising, but at a slower pace now in some regions of the U.S. Johnson & Johnson touting new data on a COVID-19 booster shot that generated virus-fighting antibodies ninefold higher than those seen just 4 weeks after the single dose. Mortgage rates fell last week for the first time in 3 weeks, but demand for mortgages is still light. Investors watching meme stocks today. AMC and GameStop shares soared yesterday on no obvious market-moving news. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. Whether you want to learn Spanish for future travel plans, French to connect with extended family, or maybe German to land a new job, Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you'll actually use. All you need is 15 minutes a day, and you'll be on your way to confidently speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel is designed by real language experts using a modern conversation-based technique that makes learning fun, engaging, and best of all, memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then sentences gradually get more complex. Soon you're practicing short conversations about real life topics. And with 14 languages to choose from and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll be sure to learn what matters most to you. Babbel, language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to babbel.com to try for free. That's BABBEL.com. Babbel.com.
Drunk driving is one of America's most often committed and deadliest crimes. Each year, nearly 10,000 people die on the road due to drunk driving. In order to stop this deadly epidemic, cops are cracking down. Police officers are aggressively looking for drunk drivers and will arrest anyone caught driving drunk. They'll see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Start your day with KBUR.
The morning news. The weather.
Information you need to start your day.
Instant, up to date.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
And welcome back on the talk show. Dr. Michael Ash is the president of Southeastern Community College. We've been talking about the return to normal, the return to classes, the return to activities that were disrupted, that had changed, that had been modified. And we are encouraged to see that you've had pretty much a green light in terms of getting the maybe not totally normal. You're still doing some precautionary yes. efforts and things like that. But I think the fact that we seem to be the track and the pathway to complete normal, if there is, we're not quite there yet. At least the pathway is there and it's laid out. And it looks like we will be, with a little luck, having things be really totally normal. I know that's yeah. almost it, but we're almost looking at it's been over a year and a half.
Yes.
We've dealt with this thing.
Yes, and it's been causing a great deal of fatigue because you want to do some things, but you have to hold back, and then you want to be safe, so you have to do the precautionary things. And what we did this last year at the college is that we took our classrooms and we did social distancing. So if we had a classroom for 40 students, then we took out desks and chairs and tables and whatnot so that we could only have 20 in there. But we also took precautions as far as cleaning the tables in between classes and whatnot. So we've been doing things like that for some time now, and we chose to do that because we want to be safe, but we also it is fatiguing. It's just wearing. It's just emotionally tearing and wearing. So we're not just throwing caution to the wind here and not caring anymore. But we are trying to take a measured step in a direction that gives us a little bit of opportunity to do some fun things, some enjoyable things. But as I said earlier, if we need to, we can turn on a dime. We can pull that back.
Maybe that is one of the blessings that did come out of dealing with COVID, is that you have tools that you can utilize to go to. And I think one of those is you mentioned online classes. I was wondering, how many students do you have that are online?
Well, that's a really good question. The online consortium, which has six schools in it across Iowa, we're one of those six, and there are some 40,000 credit hours that are taken each year through the online consortium.
And this is one where a number of community colleges are all providing some of the content. Is that right?
There are lead institutions. So we teach certain courses, and someone from Sioux City might sign up for one of our courses, and they're having our instructor online. And then the same thing happens the other way too, where some of our students would have access to a class that would be from some other place within the state that we wouldn't be able to provide, because it's hard to do when you have one or two or three students.
Right. And you have an agreement, and it is a more formalized agreement and an evolving agreement with Iowa Wesleyan University.
Yes, yes.
And that happened last year, or it became more formalized last year.
Right. But last January, we signed the alliance agreement, and so we've been working that ever since. And so here are some highlights, just some examples of how positive this situation is. First of all, both institutions, which is partly why we did this, both institutions' enrollments are up. We've provided for our SEC students that want to transfer to Wesleyan a smooth transition, as well as a scholarship from SEC on behalf of the student to Wesleyan. And then on the other side, Wesleyan provides a scholarship to that incoming transfer student as well. So that's one example. Another example is we're sharing staff. So one of our staff members, who was our Title IX director, is now doing both institutions. And so, what's the big deal about that? Well, it saves us 50% of her salary and benefits, to the tune of about $43,000.
Okay.
And so that allows us then to put those dollars towards, I want to hire a director of student activities. And it'll cost more than that, but at least I've got a good start on being able to provide a director of student activities for our campuses to be able to provide activities.
You're utilizing you're making use of staff members that are able to operate in more than one sphere,
yes,
what you're saying.
Yes, we're sharing the cost.
Right. And my daughter, in fact, I had a daughter and a wife that both went graduated from Iowa Wesleyan, and both received their degrees from Iowa Wesleyan, taking virtually all of their classes at Southeastern Community College. And this is back, a lot longer ago than a year ago.
We don't have to give a number, do we?
No, we're not going to do that. But anyway, she received a teaching degree and has been actively teaching since. And I have another daughter at a psychology degree, and she has been enabled to enhance that and has moved into social services and as an independent consultant to a social service organization. So, I've had a third daughter that actually picked up a teaching degree at Iowa Wesleyan too. She went to the University of Iowa, but went back to Iowa Wesleyan to pick up that. So, I guess I'm the only one that didn't.
Well, I'm sure they could sign you up real quickly.
No, that's
okay. It's a tremendous relationship. and we were able to help them get into our online consortium. They're not at the same level
right.
as the community colleges, but they do have, by they're paying their fees, they're able to take advantage and leverage the purchases of services and whatnot that can help their students.
So it's been a win-win situation for
yes,
both. Is that?
Yes.
I know it has been basically. It also has allowed a savings for both institutions
yes.
in terms of dollars and cents, but also a savings to the students. Right.
Yes, and that's really here's a direct savings. Well, first of all, any type of savings can be passed along to students, at least indirectly. But here's a direct savings. We took the two institutions. Who are both residential, we have residential
right.
programming, which means there's room and board. So the board part is food. And so we had a vendor that we used, and we had 150, 170 students in that board plan. And Wesleyan had their own vendor, and they have 400 or 500 students in the board plan. So when we looked at it, we said, why don't we talk about combining the numbers, even though they're not, we're eating in the same cafeteria, combining the numbers and then inviting the two vendors to make a proposal. And we did that. And the vendor that was finally chosen
right.
was the vendor that we use. And along with that, they pass along a lower cost per student, which then we can turn around and pass
right.
that along to the actual pass along to the student. And so roughly speaking, over about 5-year period of time, which is the length of the contract, each institution will save approximately $1 million. And that, again, is not directly for the institution. It's for the students. So their food costs will go up slower than they would have normally.
And so shared programs as well as both the opportunity to save for the institution, save for the students. Athletics, is there any athletic, shared athletics at all?
Well, not necessarily shared, although we do some scrimmaging together.
Okay.
But a number of our kids at SEC are able to transfer. Once they complete with us,
right.
are able to transfer to Wesleyan. And, of course, they have to work out those agreements with the coaches over there. But there's the opportunity for them to transfer and continuing their education and their sports program.
And activities, obviously,
and
some of the extracurricular activities,
yes.
too, as well. We're going to take a break. Dr. Michael Ash is our guest. We shall return with more right after this.
When you think about all those hours in the film room, every sprint in the summer, think of every sacrifice that no one saw. Every bump in the road has been leading to this moment. The 2021 Hawkeye football season starts in September. Catch every second of the action here on the Hawkeye Sports Network. From Learfield.
The Hawks open the season Saturday, September 4th, hosting Indiana with pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 2:30.
September is loaded with chances to win at Catfish Bend Casino. Win a $250 Hy-Vee gift card with the Tables Hy-Vee gift card giveaway. Two winners drawn every Friday at 6:30 and 7:30 p.m. Earn entries with every 60-minute rated table play. 5 times entries on Mondays and Wednesdays. Also this month, win some Man Cave money. Gift cards of $250 up to $1,500 from Menards, Lowe's, Ashley Furniture, Best Buy, or Walmart. 5 winners drawn every Saturday at 8 and 10 p.m. 5 times entries on Mondays and Tuesdays. Come out, play, and live lucky at Catfish Bend Casino.
Now that the kids are back in school and no longer underfoot every day, you can get back to those household projects you've been wanting to accomplish. Standard of Beaverdale has everything you need to make those dream projects a reality. From hardware, plumbing, and electrical items to help you wrap up simple repairs, to a full kitchen and bath department to help you complete a major renovation, you'll find it all at Standard of Beaverdale. They even offer a full range of flooring products. Speaking of back to school, every purchase made at Standard of Beaverdale helps support great things in our area, like our schools. Standard of Beaverdale is a proud supporter of area high school athletics and even Southeastern Community College. You, the customer, make this possible. As you shop for appliances, TVs, Carhartt clothing, building supplies, and so much more at Standard of Beaverdale instead of a big box store, you help support your community. Give Standard of Beaverdale a try. Their competitive pricing may surprise you. Shop Standard of Beaverdale in West Burlington, Iowa, open 6 days a week.
What are doctors saying about the COVID vaccine?
Fierce family physician David Carlson from Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center.
I can't make you get a COVID-19 vaccine, but I'm to the point of begging if that's what it takes. Most of my patients who have had COVID are alive, but some have continuing symptoms that are serious, and science hasn't figured out a way to fix them. Getting a COVID-19 vaccination doesn't provide 100% immunity, but it greatly reduces your likelihood of getting seriously ill. Protect yourself and others. Please.
And we are glad to have with us again Dr. Michael Ash. It's his first return to the school year of 2021-22.
Right.
Graduation took place. You had graduations in two locations.
Yes.
And I believe you had, in fact, I believe, what did you, you did not use the Grand Theater down at Keokuk. You used, I believe, was it a gym in down at Keokuk?
No. We held the service on the grounds outside.
Okay,
of the
Keokuk
campus, and it was a beautiful evening. It was a beautiful ceremony, of course, graduation, and the place was just filled with family and friends and community members. And it's a very pretty campus to begin with. But when we had all these white chairs set out for our audience, and then we had different designations for the students and the faculty and staff, and then we had a stage and all of that, it was just a good sight.
You know, it was Iowa Wesleyan. I don't know if they did or not, but they used to do outdoor graduation as well. That was one of their things that they did. And in fact, I went to Luther College. That was an outdoor graduation as well. So I guess outdoor graduations are not anything that is new. Are you looking at, I'm thinking you're looking at things being A-OK, back to normal by the time we get into the 2022 season. Is that right?
I would like to think so. We did have a follow-up meeting related to the Keokuk campus, and we talked through with our staff that were involved to see, from their perspective, how it went and were there issues and challenges, and if there were they correctable, and is this something we'd like to do again or at least talk about doing again? And I think the general consensus was, yes, this was very successful. We'd like to do this again.
There was another thing I wanted to ask about. The courts facility was going to be an addition or basically connected to the SCC gym, SCC basketball court. That has been changed. That has been moved to Pizzazz.
Right.
And expanded expanded beyond that. So I'm guessing that is something that I guess it benefits you and them because it is still, I believe, a community, and I'm not sure, are you involved at all in the courts project?
Yes, from the standpoint that we have, we established a nonprofit board called the Greater Burlington Area Sports Facilities Board, and I serve as the president of that board. So we've been involved early on with raising money, and then that organization oversaw the building of the turf, and that has been very successful. Of course, we've had bumps in the road with COVID, if you will. And then the courts were going to be at SEC, but then they got switched over. Very long story, and no secrets, but just a long story. And so the idea was we'll put those courts there, and as we were beginning our planning, processing, and all of that, then COVID hit. So it kind of slowed everything down. Now what we're battling is the high cost of steel.
Yeah.
And so, for instance, that facility was going to have four intercollegiate size basketball courts in it, and we've trimmed off a whole court. So we've taken 25% of the building and just lopped it off.
Building supplies in general have been they've been in short supply because of short demand. We've also seen We've seen with law enforcement and with fire departments, we've seen them. They're ordering equipment and they're not getting it because of this chip, this actual chip shortage that's coming from China. One thing has led to another, and any time you have a supply and demand issue, well, then you have costs that are going to be going up. Right. So it's been a problem for you and a problem for many, many others. I don't know if you've been by any automobile dealer lots over the last few months, but it's been somewhat they've been sparse.
Sparse is a good word.
But again, as you look ahead to the school year, the general feeling I'm getting is that it's a year of encouragement and a year that is going to be hopefully evolving into both safety, but also a year that will maybe start not quite certain, but absolutely certain by the end of the year. At least that's the hope, is that right?
That's what our hope and expectations are, and actually that's the planning we're doing again,
right,
with the idea that we'll pull it back, we'll make adjustments as needed.
But and I guess as you also face the biggest challenge that you're facing right now is there a big challenge that you're facing right now? I think you've said enrollment is up, economics seem to be doing well, you've got athletics going well. We were talking about athletics, the bubble. The bubble has been, how active is the bubble being used right now?
Well, during the summer is very slow because it's not an air-conditioned facility, plus we're not here to compete with the with the outdoor facilities. But we each year since we've been open, there's been an improvement in revenue and utilization. Of course, we had to deal with, in that interim of all of those 3 years, we've had to deal with COVID, and it has touched us in a number of different ways.
I guess what I was getting at is how many different sports actually utilize the bubble?
Soccer, baseball, little these young
right,
children.
Obviously as the weather turns colder, yes.
Yeah. So we have soccer, and that's all ages. We have young girls under 12, under 16, that play softball are, and the reason it's that labeled that is because that allows us to put two softball fields in. We do have college softball in there, but that is one field. So we have college softball. Our baseball team uses it for batting practices and indoor workouts during February and January and February. We've had our track team in there.
Okay.
And these are things that we're renting, so this isn't just for us to use.
This is a public-private partnership, is that
correct?
Right?
Correct. And so we're charged for that, our time in there. Let's see what else is in there. So then we have Little League Baseball in there. We've even had 8-man football in there. We've had just one game. We were preparing for a wrestling tournament out of Notre Dame. But again, people were concerned about that closeness.
Right.
Whatnot. So that got postponed.
You mentioned, is nursing the number one field in terms of, or health, it's in health services. Why would nursing be your number one enrollment in terms of individual types of degrees?
Individual programming, yes. Nursing is our top program.
What would be number two?
Probably coming on strong is education.
Okay.
And we started that probably about a year ago or so. So early ed, early childhood development, early ed, elementary education, that program has just really ballooned.
Animation has been something that was talked about as well. Has that been growing?
It has. It took a little bit of a nosedive. We made a few changes with our program expectations. And it has rebounded nicely, and so we're seeing some.
You also mentioned the auto body and I'm not sure it's auto repair or what is it?
The auto collision,
okay.
And then the precision machining shop. So we've remodeled both of those labs and shops, and they're just beautiful right now.
So it's been both an active summer and also a summer to prepare and a summer to move on, and a new fall season is here.
Yep.
Your season, you're still operating on a semester or a trimester?
A semester basis.
You're on a semester basis, and is that the same? Are you in coordination with Iowa Wesleyan in terms of that operation?
No, they actually started classes yesterday, I believe. We started classes last Wednesday, but they are semester based as well as we.
Okay, and
it's just when to begin and when to end is a little off.
You're just a little more formalized in terms of the transfer process,
right.
Is that right?
Right.
All right. Dr. Michael Ash, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. We'll look forward to seeing you again next month, hopefully even more normal, but I do want to mention November 5th is the date of Great Taste.
Right.
And that we'll get Val Genetino in. She's the director of... advancement. Wait a minute. I'll figure it out. What is the actual title?
She's Executive Director of Advancement and the Foundation.
And the Foundation. All right. Dr. Ash, have a great day.
Thanks so much, Steve.